I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My guest today, Maureen J. St. Germain, the practical mystic, has had a lifelong interest in the Akashic Records, which resulted in her being granted access to the dimension that has been off limits to most of humanity for millions of years. Founder of Akashic Records International, she is an extremely accurate Akashic Records guide and instructor. Maureen's newest book, Waking Up in Fifth Dimension, A Practical Guide to Multidimensional Transformation, provides tools and teaching to guide you in the transition from the polarized mindset of the third dimension to the joy and love of fifth dimension vibrations. It explains how to recognize the fifth dimension experiences you've already had, identify the difference between third dimension lineal thinking and fifth dimension multidimensional thinking, and turn third dimension viewpoints around to expand your perception of what is possible. Waking up in fifth dimension includes exercises to protect your energies, especially while asleep, and sacred geometry meditation to open yourself to higher frequencies. It reveals how to develop a higher self connection, increase your sensitivity to dimensional signatures, and consciously choose fifth dimension, where love is the governing force. We are all transitioning from the narrowly focused and polarized wakingness of the third dimension and waking up to the higher vibration and abilities of the fifth dimension. Each of us has already experienced fifth dimension, and you can think about your most memorable and uplifting experiences of the recent past, where everything went well, interactions were harmonious and loving, and all felt blissful and happy. That's fifth dimension in this ascension manual. Maureen explains how to shift your energy's patterns and choose to permanently anchor yourself in the joy, love, and kindness of fifth dimension. Widely known for her Amazon.com bestseller, Beyond the Flower of Life, Maureen has been sharing knowledge she has gained from her years of teaching, meditation, and research of ancient truths. Maureen's manifestation book, Be a Genie, Create Love, Success, and Happiness, teaches sacred geometry and manifestation based on source code and her discovery of the Phoenix Sequence. Labeled a modern-day mystic in famous Wisconsin mystics, Maureen has taught in 15 countries throughout Europe, Canada, the United States, Egypt, China, and Japan. Her books have been translated into Russian, Italian, and Chinese. Maureen St. Germain leads workshops in personal development and spiritual awakening. As a seeker, she shares the knowledge she has gained from her study in ancient truths, insightful, compassionate, entertaining, and funny. Her primary focus is developing tools to support individuals in their personal expansion and spiritual awakening through training, Akashic Records, sacred journeys, guided meditations, aromandalas, essential oils, aromatic therapy, and books. Her clients love her velvet voice in her many guided meditations on topics such as the Merkaba, letting go, manifesting, and more. More information is available at www.MaureenSt.Germain.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Maureen, and I look forward to hearing about having the life we want in the fifth dimension. Now, first, you have a new book, Waking Up in the Fifth Dimension, A Practical Guide to Multi-Dimensional Transformation. Can you tell us what that is all about?
Yes. As you and I talked about before the show, you know, we all remember that song by the Fifth Dimension. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. And we're finally at that cusp where the transformation is occurring in real time. Tell the stories of some of the real time experiences that people are having that can only be explained as a fifth dimensional expression. I also explain how I came to this information so that a person doesn't have to take my word for it. They will actually hear my story. And the book covers not only being proactive, but also to help you understand the experiences that you might be having that don't add up, or the experiences that you are having that you dismiss because you can't explain it and forget about because it doesn't match your current version of the reality. But if I gave you a new template and say, oh, well, the reason you don't understand it is because we're talking French. Here's the French dictionary. Let's practice. You know, then suddenly you're going to see things with whole new eyes.
Right. And you fly all over the world leading tours and teaching. And why do you do this?
I guess because I can. I started out in my corporate work. I was in tourism, and then I went into association management. And so I had quite a connection with travel. And so when the opportunity to take a group to Egypt came up, I was very blessed. And my higher self actually told me to call John Anthony West. And I remember having this discussion in my head. This was in the early years when I wasn't really accustomed to hearing, you know, like a whole conversation in my head. Mm-hmm. And in my thought, I said, well, he's not going to talk to me. And the response was, quit stalling. You can find anybody you want on the internet. That was back in the 90s, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I wrote him a note and I thought, I don't even know what I'm going to say to him. I don't even know what to say. But then I realized that his group and my group were going to be in Egypt at the same time. So that's what I told him. And I asked him if he would be willing to talk to my group. Well, he said, why don't you send me your itinerary? I want to see what you're doing. And he was so gracious. I mean, he called me back and he was so gracious. It began this, you know, 20-year friendship. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with him and had groups with him. And then I just kind of branched out and I had people come to me saying, we need to do a trip to Tibet. Would you be willing to lead that? And so I did. And then I went to a dolphin swim and was immediately gratified with the amazing experiences and given very strong guidance to return. And I asked the people that had hosted me, you know, what do you think about me doing this? And would you be okay if I use the same people you do? And they said, of course, go right ahead. So all these opportunities really kind of like, sort of like landed in my lap and I took it up. I suppose I didn't have to, but I was attracted to it. And I've always been attracted to travel. So it was a match and I am a very happy traveler. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I don't mind, you know, living out of a suitcase or anything like that. So I'm comfortable with that. And so it makes it easier for other people because I really look out for them. You know, I'm kind of like a mom in that regard. And then because of the work I was doing with the Merkaba, the 17-breath Merkaba, the original, I call it the classic, I was getting very, very well known. And word spread really like wildfire on the work I was doing at that level. Many people who had taken this class with other people would take it from me and be blown out of the water. So I was invited all over the world. And that led to other opportunities, you know. So I've taught in Japan and Taiwan and China, many, many places in China, in Europe. I've not taught in Russia. I've taught in the UK and Scotland and all over Canada and the U.S. Very well. Do it as I can, I guess, you know.
Then, Maureen, you have a unique set of insights and skills that you use to help others. How did this come about? Was this from your travels, or did you gain this through intuition or study or what?
I give a lot of credit to the mastery that I have achieved to the work of the 17-breath Merkaba because it does activate your fifth dimensional field. I do know that I came in with a certain mastery and connection with some very high beings. Mm-hmm. And there was a point in my working with people that I was given a permanent guide. And I also then was drawn to the Akashic Records work and learned that and then began teaching others how to open the Akashic Records. And so my connection, I think, has to do with a couple of things. Number one, a daily devotion. And I've always had a daily devotion. And for your listeners, you know, one of the things you can do for yourself, if you do nothing else, is give yourself some kind of daily devotion. And if you've only got 10 minutes to do that, then, you know, get a guided meditation that takes you through a process in that 10 minutes so that you've used your time well. You know, if you have time to learn mindfulness, go do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you are attracted to guided meditation, do that. Not everyone, especially people with the monkey mind, not everyone can meditate. So, you know, the guided meditations address that monkey mind stuff. And I found that the Merkaba was probably the most evolved meditation on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
In spite of that, I also then created a whole bunch of other kinds of meditations for people that call in the angels or their new crystalline DNA and, you know, clear the field and stuff like that. So those practices then gave me new skills. For example, I had a profound experience when I heard a set of words that turned out to be a Hebrew prayer for the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And that prayer is Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sabaot. And I had a spiritual teacher when I was in my 20s who told me that anytime I was afraid or in a lucid dream or anything that would make me feel like there were beings that didn't belong, I could say that prayer and I would be safe.
Mm-hmm.
So I had it memorized and I had it in my head. And then I heard this choir singing it and I went, whoa, it hit me in a whole different way and cleared my field mm-hmm. in a whole different way. But I couldn't, nobody had that recording. Wherever it came from, it was like gone from, you know, the public sector. So then I put together a choir and recorded it myself, along with another chant, the Hathor chant, which is the clear sopranic tube. And then the whole set's called Mantras for Ascension. And I did those chants every day
mm-hmm.
for years.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, for example, after doing this Mantras for Ascension, I was out in my garden, and the garden was looking pretty ratty from all the time I was on the road. And I start talking to the elementals, and I said to them, you know, I thought you guys were going to look after this place. I asked you guys to help me. And then without even thinking, I said, you know, I really wish I could hear you. Now, I raised four sons, and I was really talking to the elementals like they were my mm-hmm. teenagers, saying, you know, look at this bedroom. Looks like crap. And so when I said, you know, I really wish I could hear you, it was like somebody flipped a switch. And later in meditation, when I asked, I was told it was because I had done that mantra for so long. And the elemental said, you never asked us. And I went, what? I did too. Don't you remember when we put all those tulips in and I blessed each one and we put the dolomite in and I asked your help? And this gnome shaking his finger at me and he said, no, you didn't. You expected us to help you. Now, there's no way I would be making that kind of a conversation up in my head. And when you have that kind of a conversation, you know you're not making it up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the blessings of, you know, having these openings. And so over time, I have brought forward their messages and other messages from higher beings.
Mm-hmm.
So I've really paid attention to the opportunities that are put in front of me and jumped on them, you know.
Mm-hmm. They're right about needing their permission. I read that you need to ask, give your angels and the terrestrials or whatever, you need to, guides, you need to give them permission each day. And so I use a little affirmation, divine, I'm present, angels, guides, and beings of light. I give you permission to guide, enfold, and protect me this day for the good of all. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I use that every day.
Really nice. I have a similar one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I ask for the full expression of my highest self to be ever present to say, I ask for the masters, teachers, and guides of me to be ever present to say, and I ask that they be given full access to my four lower bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's more gratitude and things like that, but mm-hmm. same idea.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that happened to me is when I was writing an angel meditation CD, I said to the angels, you know, why can't you just ask once and have you guys with us forever?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after all, I'm in. And they laughed at me and they said, well, honey, when we got married, I told you I loved you 10 years ago and nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard this, I knew they were mocking, you know, the whole idea of when you're married, you say, I love you to your partner every day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, you know, something's wrong or somebody's sick. So when they said that, I got it. You know, it's like, each day we have to practice our free will, and practicing our free will means you're deciding, today I'm with God. Today mm-hmm. this is my MO.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on board with that for sure.
Great, good. Then, Maureen, you use principles from your book to manifest the life and successes that you live. How do you do this?
Well, I wrote a whole book on this, and the book is called Be a Genie, and it has so many principles of manifestation in it. And my students say that this is the book that explains the secret, but I wrote it before the secret ever came out. And this book is based on sacred geometry, and it's based on the principle that anybody who knows the Fibonacci sequence, where you take a number like 1, and then you add it to the previous number, which would be 0, then you get another 1, and then you add the 2 ones, you get 2, and then the next number is 3, and then 5, and then 8, always adding the current number with the preceding number. That's called the Fibonacci sequence. Well, it turns out you could take any 2 numbers and produce an outcome of the same way that the Fibonacci does. And the Fibonacci sequence outcome is when you take any adjacent pair and divide them, you will get phi. And I call phi source code. It's also called the golden mean. And I show how instead of manifesting your heart's desire, you go beyond it
mm-hmm.
and use phi to bring it in. If you are trying to manifest the love of your life, your manifestation visual is a celebration
mm-hmm.
of an anniversary, either your day you meet or, you know, your years of living together or marriage. And what happens is where you're at today and this heart's desire are 2 separate versions of the reality.
Mm-hmm.
And you allow it to be okay that you have more than one version of the reality, just like you do when you go to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do that, what happens is the universe conspires to give you that outcome, and that outcome produces the result you are seeking.
Mm-hmm.
So I've used this all my life. And as a matter of fact, I used it to manifest a 3-book deal. And this is like a cautionary tale in that I signed a 3-book deal with Hampton Roads Publishing. I have a signed contract. They had some money issues, and my contract basically fell off the table.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they told me they were sending a check, it never came. And I ended up not publishing with them. So I manifested a 3-book deal, but nothing came of it. So mm-hmm. one of the things I remind people is don't go to what you think you need. Go to the last outcome and then see yourself doing something that proves it's already done. So if it's a new car you want, don't visualize that you're going to get a Toyota or a Mercedes or whatever. Instead, mm-hmm. visualize the car or the vehicle that's going to give you what you want and produce the results you want, you know, carry the dog food and the dog and the kids like that. And then have someone see you in it and ask you, I didn't recognize you because I didn't recognize the car. And then you get to say, that's my new car. And it is the anchoring of the experience in the reality by hearing that 3D conversation that produces the result so fast.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Right. And can anyone do this?
Yes. Yes. And it's really fun. You know, I teach that class, that manifestation class, fairly often. But to me, it's so much fun. I could do that every day, because when people come and they want to manifest something, and I say, well, you know, show me something or tell me something that proves you've already got what you wanted, they can't do it because they've always gone to that wall of getting what they want. And they're standing there looking at it like you look at a castle. Whereas if you already have the castle, that means you're arranging for the housekeeper and you are having a party. You know, there's something that proves you already have it
mm-hmm.
instead of just looking at it from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool. And it employs then all the dimensions. It employs the 3rd dimension, which is this real-time conversation. It employs the 4th dimension, which is loaded with emotion. And it employs the 5th dimension, because the minute you get what you really want, you're so filled with happiness and joy and bliss.
Mm-hmm. It's similar to what Anne Marie Evers talks about in her affirmations, if I'm understanding it correctly. She has a process that you go through, and you have to experience the 5 senses as part of the visualization of the affirmation that you're looking for.
Hmm.
Is that right?
Well, I'm not familiar with her work.
No, I mean,
but
is that similar?
It's similar in the concept that you're doing more than just a mental visualization.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's different in that you're forcing, you're creating in your mind a conversation with someone that you are likely to have a conversation with, and you say what you would say, and you hear what they would say.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the hearing of what your friend or your mother or your spouse would say to you, let's say when you won the award,
mm-hmm.
or when you got this car, or when you got your diploma, that proves that it occurred.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not focusing on getting the diploma, let's say. You're focused on telling your mother, Mother, I have the diploma that I always wanted. And that brings in the energy that insists that the diploma was achieved.
Well, see, she does the same. She talks about you don't say I want or anything like that because your subconscious will always keep it out of your reach. So
that's what I call the wall, yeah.
You talk in terms of already having it or seeing and interacting with people and discussing it and all. And affirmations for her usually start with I have or I am and not I will have or
I totally agree with that. It sounds very similar.
Uh-huh.
My emphasis is on the conversation because I believe that it is the real or imagined conversation that the universe conspires to fill.
Mm-hmm. I just need sometimes things to facilitate my understanding of new concepts if I can see how they contrast with something that I already know.
That you already know, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool.
Now, you've talked a lot about the Merkaba. Can you tell us about that?
Well, the Merkaba is a 17-breath meditation that was originally brought forward by a man by the name of Drumbolo Melchizedek. And he no longer teaches it, and he doesn't recommend people learn it. But I still do.
Oh, he doesn't?
I taught it for about 20 years, and I produced the DVD, so people can still learn it if they want.
Mm-hmm.
And, who knows why people change their mind about something. I personally found it to be one of the highest experiences on the planet in terms of how to create mastery. It's kind of like wearing the uniform of a master, even if you haven't earned it. And it allows you to create that energy, that energetic matrix around yourself to activate it, really, because you already have it. You activate that, and that then permits you to do lots of things that you wouldn't be able to do otherwise. And because I've practiced this for so long and taught so many people all over the world, then when the 5D Merkaba came in and I could see how that would take this work to the next level, then that's when I brought it that forward as well.
Mm-hmm.
So these are tools that anchor in energetic blueprints that make it easy to be your most evolved self.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like you could look at a coloring book and you're stepping into the shape. And then as the shape holds you and cradles you and you fill it in, you become it. It becomes you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's alive and it speaks to you and can assist you in your mastery. And so then with that work, I went into a higher form of a Merkaba, which is the 5D Merkaba. And we're activating the higher chakras and producing incredible results in terms of being able to hold this very high, sweet, peaceful, loving, energetic matrix, and it positively impacts everything else you're doing. So it takes you up again, another level.
Now you
said, I think all these things, all these things help people in that we're all going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so a few people doing it early are like making tracks and then everybody else can follow along.
You said then you have CDs on this. Can you tell us what they are? I'm interested in looking.
Okay. So there is a DVD called the Merkaba 2, and it's a DVD, so it's an instructional DVD. There is a guided meditation that once you know the Merkaba, you might use that. I then created a 5D guided meditation, and the instructions are in the book, Waking Up in 5D.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very powerful work. Very, very powerful work.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah.
And I attribute a lot of the mastery that I've achieved because of the mastery that these matrices hold. So it's easy to step into your most evolved self.
Mm-hmm. You also then draw on the flower of life. Can you explain this?
Yes, the flower of life is a symbol, and it's also a term that's generically used to refer to this Merkaba meditation, because the Merkaba uses the shape of these seven circles that are on top of each other and to form a certain image as being the source code of the geometric or the platonic solids. So the use of the flower of life as a blueprint is very powerful because it allows us as a human to tune up or tune to our divine blueprint, and then we can pull the codes for ourselves through that template.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is there anything more we should know about the sacred geometry or chaos theory or some of the other practices in your work?
Well, chaos theory is useful to understand certain qualities of the dimensions and manifestation. And as far as sacred geometry goes, I believe the repeated use of sacred geometry changes who you are in such a dramatic way that it's tangible. So I recommend that people draw sacred geometry. And sacred geometry could be anything that looks like a mandala in my book.
Mm-hmm.
Now, traditionally, sacred geometry uses the five platonic solids and, you know, makes that basic flower of life symbol and then all the other subsets that are within that. But there are plenty of artists that make sacred geometry for people to look at or to have in their homes. And I highly recommend that you find the artists. I'll name two that I think very highly of. One is Endre Balog, E-N-D-R-E. And then his last name is Balog, B-A-L-O-G. And you can Google him and look at his sacred geometry. It's phenomenal. It's actually, he did the cover for the book. And then there's another artist by the name of Lorinda. And she also has tremendous art. Now, I believe that my eyesight changed as a result of working with the sacred geometry.
Mm-hmm. In what way?
Well, I was wearing bifocals in my 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not wearing them now. I had to wear eyeglasses to pass my driver's test.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't anymore.
Good. Then, Maureen, do you feel that you live in the fifth dimension most of the time?
Yes, I do. I am human, and there are times when someone close to me can push my buttons, but generally my reactions are 5D. And, you know, like I was explaining, we were both talking about how there were miscommunications this morning with other clients that we were working with, and I had a conversation with the people who had made the mistake on my schedule and had put something in the wrong month.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were so sorry. And I said, no worries. That just gave me another hour to get something else done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was kept on right on marching, you know, no big deal. And they were blown away. But that's 5D, because 5D seeks to find the good in everything and doesn't judge anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't mean mistakes won't occur, especially as we're transitioning. But what it also means is that you could be in a place of such amazing joy and gratitude that you're able to maintain it in spite of those around you.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to teach people a very important phrase that I coined called, I'm asking for a day of heaven on earth for me and everyone I come in contact with. What that does is holds the matrix for 5D for me, and then, oh, by the way, anybody that I'm meeting also gets that benefit. And I'll give you a quick example. I sat down at a bar-type restaurant in the airport, and I was fiddling with this iPod trying to order my meal, iPad, and couldn't quite get the hang of it because they wanted me to, you know, use my mileage number and my credit card, and I knew the numbers, but it wasn't seeming to work for me. And so this gentleman came over and helped me from the staff, and then he walked away to take care of somebody else, and then somebody else came over and helped me. I had like four or five people
mm-hmm.
coming over and talking to me and making sure I was getting what I needed. So after my meal is finally ordered and I'm sitting there talking to the lady next to me, she said, you know, when I sat down, nobody talked to me. I didn't have any help ordering. And, you know, she's making this observation. And I said, well, isn't that the funniest thing? I said, I had help right away. I had all these people helping me. And she looked at me and she said, I know. I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you want to know my secret? And I shared with her the same thing I just shared with you.
Mm-hmm.
Just to announce, I'm asking for a day of heaven on earth for me and everyone I come in contact with.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Right, right. And do you think that a lot of other people live in fifth dimension on this planet?
I do. I think a lot more people are living in 5D than they realize.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most important things to recognize is that we as a planet, as a consciousness, are going to shift when we hit critical mass. We don't have enough yet. But it is also true that we are in 5D and then we're sliding back to 3D. And then we're in 5D and we're sliding back.
Mm-hmm.
And my metaphor for this is teenagers. Just about the time they do something really mature, then they do something stupid. And if you've ever raised a family, you know what I'm talking about. So look on yourself. This is how we learn. We make progress. We make a couple of steps forward. Maybe we make a half a step back. But then we make more progress. So the line continues to move in an upward direction. But maybe it's not a straight line. And certainly, just because you were 5D 2 minutes ago does not mean you'll be 5D now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that there are a lot of things that facilitate this beyond. I'm thinking of, are you familiar with, force, energy? I have to go look. I never remember. But it's two men who have developed a way of projecting and measuring consciousness, and their emphasis is on raising the consciousness of the world one property at a time. And so they have found that, and I don't remember what they call it, but like 200 is hate, 400 above and above, you give energy to the environment. Under 400, you take. 500 is love, and they project 550 to your home. So that's one of the things that I'm aware of. I was in a Edgar Cayce search for God group for many years. And one thing that they have is two books that Cayce helped develop, and they're the spiritual attribute. And so you study these, you develop disciplines that you work on each week, like faith, patience, love, etc. And you meditate together every day. You meditate at the same time with the rest of the group, and then you meditate together once a week when you get together. So those are just a couple of the things, but there seems to be more and more things that are available to facilitate the process of moving from third to fifth dimension. Am I correct in that?
Absolutely. And, it's funny that you mentioned Edgar Cayce. I, too, was in a Search for God study group for many, many years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now I am on the board of directors for the Edgar Cayce Center in New York.
Oh.
And I have been for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And have been using that center for a long time. And I'm actually doing a fundraiser for them in New York on November 19th. It's a Sunday. And the entire cost of the seminar on waking up in 5D is being donated to the center.
Mm-hmm.
And so, thank you for letting me know. The whole, US of A now knows about that. I think the world of the work of Edgar Cayce, and I think that theirs is a wonderful introduction to some of the amazing healing modalities that we are just now proving to be accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And I have used those modalities on my family and believe highly in the work of Cayce. And I love to tell a story that Edgar Cayce did not believe in reincarnation. And it wasn't until he started channeling the messages about his own past life and who he had been that he finally gave up the ghost, if you will, and accepted that as a very real part of reality, because his traditional Christian upbringing didn't allow for that.
I moved here because of the foundation, and had been friends with Charles Thomas, the grandson, for many years. And, he died last year. And we were friends, I think it was 45 years.
And, wow.
So that was a big loss in my life.
Yeah, it was a big loss for all of us, especially at the centers. We relied on to come and inspire us and everything, yeah.
Right. So anyone then can move to that reality if they so choose.
Yes, and part of what the book covers is ways that you can be proactive about it. You know, I was in the corporate world for such a long time, and one of the buzzwords in the corporate world is proactive or reactive. You know, when you're running an organization and there's some kind of drama or emergency, are you prepared for it? Are you proactive? Or are you reacting to the problem? And so being proactive, if you're running a call center, would be giving the people who are answering the phone very clear guidance on what they're allowed to do for the customer and what they're not, so they can be proactive and solve some problems at some level. So I began to notice that certain words made me very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And these were not bad words. These were not words that you and I might say, oh, you shouldn't say those words. These are just everyday words that people were using. And yet I was finding myself cringing, and I realized it was whenever I was, you know, vibrating at that 5D level, those 3D words that were very polarizing were uncomfortable to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I began to notice that you could consciously choose to eliminate those words.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of those words are quite simple, like, you know, good or bad or right or wrong. And I don't say those words anymore. What I say is, well, that's a match for me, or that pleases me. You know, we can say, like in Domino's, well, that's a match,
mm-hmm.
but we don't have to say that's the best answer. We mm-hmm. can just say that works for me.
Mm-hmm.
And a favorite of mine that I like to help people notice is the have to word. And mm-hmm. this is very common in everyday language. I have to go get my kids at childcare, or I have to pay my rent, or I have to go to the doctor. And the truth is, you don't have to anything. And when we say it in a different way, we actually change the matrix, because when we say I have to, we're implying that there's a matrix or an energy that's forcing us to do things without our mutual consent.
Mm-hmm.
So why not own what we do desire and claim it, instead of just handing it off to a generalized energy that might then come in and take us over?
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage people to say things like, well, it's time for me to go get my kids. I need to leave. I'm leaving now.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than I have to. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when you say I have to, that you're really saying somebody over me insists that I do this.
Mm-hmm.
And there is nobody over you, you know, on a lot of these things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to the doctor now. I made an appointment for 3, and I like being on time. All mm-hmm. of those are very proactive kinds of sentences.
Mm-hmm.
Maureen,
can you speak a little bit about self-protection?
Yes. Well, you know, it's an interesting concept, and I wrote a book called Reweaving the Fabric of Your Reality that talks a lot about the energies in the reality and how they affect us and how they can impact us. And what I will say is, everyone needs to know how to do clearing work and to do their own clearing work, because there are energies, I'll call them like weeds, that will stand in the way of our success. And just like we take the weeds out of a garden, we want to clear our fields of energies or entities that would stand in the way of our success, stand in the way of our blooming to our full capacity. So I give people a lot of tools. They're simple enough, and certainly there's some YouTube examples as well. But the important thing to know is that we have autonomy. We are the only person that's allowed to live in our body. So there's another energy cohabitating in my body. I have every right to say, you need to leave, and mm-hmm. to use the appropriate language, you know, the commanding voice. You know,
mm-hmm.
one of the things I tell people is, when you're clearing entities or energies, you don't say please. You say you need to leave now. You don't
mm-hmm.
say to the dog, please sit. You say to the dog, sit.
Mm-hmm.
And if the dog doesn't respond, you ramp up. I said sit. So these energies don't have a mental body. Just like pets don't have a mental body, and they don't understand your mental process. They only understand the tone and your intention through the words. So a clearing work is always done in a commanding voice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Maureen, would you then tell us, just sort of summarize how people can move to the fifth dimension? I mean, you've mentioned many things, and can you just kind of summarize to bring all of that together? Because it's an important concept.
All right, I'll do it this way, because it's a nice question to ask.
Mm-hmm.
I say a prayer every night at bedtime,
mm-hmm.
and it goes like this. I'm getting a good rest, and I will awaken well rested no matter what the night holds. I claim I am waking up in 5D. And then I also add, I'm entering a reverse aging machine that is already set up for me. And I am awakening incrementally younger, pain-free, disease-free, negative energy-free, and healthy each day.
Mm-hmm.
I have quite a few other I am statements, but you get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I would say two things to people, two really simplistic things, and that is every morning ask for that day of heaven on earth for you and everyone you come in contact with and everyone you are in contract with. And at night, I am getting a good night's rest no matter what the night holds, and I am waking up in 5D.
Mm-hmm.
Those two statements at night change the matrix, because I've had plenty of sleepless nights where there's a lot of stuff going on, you know, energetic grids, changes, you know, ET contacts, whatever you want. But I always get out of bed and think, wow, I feel pretty terrific. And that's so amazing, because then I think, wow, I had a pretty interesting night. And so just announcing that I will wake up well-rested, I am waking up, not I will, but I am waking up well-rested, no matter what the night holds, is very powerful. And then, of course, to announce I am waking up in 5D, that will always put you in a good mood and create an energetic matrix that's waiting for you the mm-hmm. minute you open your eyes.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other question I have that I wanted to ask you, and that is ascension itself. There were many that said that December 21st, 2012, as we talked earlier, we would wake up and the negativity in the world would be gone. Everything would be positive. It'd be love. There'd be abundance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then there were a few, not many, that said it's an individual thing, that we all will reach fifth dimension at some time, but it's not something that's going to happen where the very positive are going to move and the negative are going to move to a different place. So can you tell us what your thoughts are as far as ascension and how we're going, where we are?
I would be delighted to. I was given very clear information by my angels and guides that the vision that a lot of people were getting was truly to give people hope for the future, because things were so difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But I always saw that there were two Earths and that one would split away and crash and burn, if you will. Actually, three Earths is what I wrote mm-hmm. in the book Beyond the Flower of Life. So the second Earth would make her ascension, and a third Earth is starting the experiment again with a whole new set of ground rules.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that there is a critical mass that we will reach, and when we do, then everyone else comes along. Until we hit that critical mass, it is very individualized. So the first thing I share with people is the ascension is not the traditional Easter kind, but it is a version of ascension that integrates our higher self into our physical body, and we don't die. So we're manifesting a luminescent expression, and that ascended master me will live on an ascended master earth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when there's enough people, that everything will kind of separate out. Right now, you could even say, well, in this version of the reality, maybe Hugh Hefner is still living on the one that's going to crash and burn. And I'm making that as a joke, but I'm also getting people to think, you know, wait a minute, didn't he die? And the answer is, yeah, but maybe I died on that other version. Because mm-hmm. I'm not going with the one that's crashing and burning. So the people won't necessarily know in their 3D experience what's happening on the other version unless you're intuitive and you're seeing both.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a kind of a combination in my book mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. what will happen.
And also, as you raise your consciousness through prayer, meditation, through serving others, through applying the spiritual concepts, through study, all of this, do you then attract more other positive people in your life so that there is less negativity in your life anyhow?
That's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. And it's kind of funny because sometimes people come to you with a big problem and you sit in bed that night thinking, I am so grateful I don't deal with that anymore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, mm-hmm. we attract vibrational matches.
Mm-hmm.
And I claim that I do. You know, I mean, I claim that for myself,
mm-hmm.
that I am attracting people who are a vibrational match for me, who want what I have to offer and are willing to use it. Because I'm not interested in just, you know, casting pearls. I'm interested in helping people evolve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Good. I think that is the hope and encouragement to people, that they can move themselves to a place where there isn't much negativity in your life, even on this planet.
Right.
And I think that would probably include mainly turning the television off. Do you watch television?
I have not had a television in my home since 1994.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Great.
Now, I must confess that I told my husband about Gaia TV, and he balked at watching a show on my iPad, but he liked it so much he went out and bought a large screen. But we don't receive mm-hmm. television. We just watch the Gaia show.
Yeah. Well, I watch one show a week, and it's something I watched when I was at my sister's, and I liked it. And it's Major Crime. I don't know. You probably have not seen it, but
no, I have not.
What
seen
I
it.
Like yeah. is that the chief of police is a woman. There was a teenage male who was an eyewitness, and he needed a place to be protected, and she took him in, and he had not had a very good life and had not been very good at getting what he needed when his mother dumped him. And they have developed a relationship, and she's adopted him, and it's her family, how they view him. And there's four or five little stories that are going on at the same time that they're solving a different crime each week. And I just like the love that is portrayed by the people that are in the show. So that's the only show I
totally understand. I've done the same thing as you, and I picked one show that I was very attracted to, and I bring it in on my computer. And my favorite show is a show called Suit, and it's about a team of lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting the way the drama unfolds, but there's such love and kindness
mm-hmm.
that's expressed, and that's the thing that makes it so attractive. And like mm-hmm. your show, lots of storylines, so lots of complexities,
mm-hmm.
which also makes it very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Now, the one thing I do, and that is I try to spend an hour each night watching a movie from the 40s, 50s, the old good movies that, and I haven't been to the movie house in 30 years, but mm-hmm. I like watching the old movies, the Hedy Lamarr, the Betty Davis, the Joan Crawford, Ingrid Bergman, all of the, you know, great actresses and actors. So I have a large collection of DVDs, and so I try to watch an hour each night before I meditate.
That sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Then is there anything else, Maureen, you'd like to say before we look at your books, services, and products and how the listeners can reach you?
I'd like to remind each of your listeners that each day they get a fresh start. And to claim that, no matter how rotten you were yesterday, a fresh start today.
Mm-hmm. Great, good. And then, Maureen, will you tell us about your book? You've mentioned them, but if you bring them up again, the services that you have and how the listeners can reach you, how they can reach you.
So my book, Waking Up in 5D, is the most current one, and it's available on Kindle and Amazon and bookstores everywhere. I have three other books that are also available on Amazon and Kindle. My books are translated into four languages, and I do have events that I do, some teleclasses here and there and special national events. I am presenting at an event in Las Vegas that is on 5D events, and then I'll also be at the Conscious Life Expo in February of 2018. And of course, as I mentioned, in New York. So, and I have a lot of products on my own website, mm-hmm. including a whole line of essential oil blends that help people clear their emotional wounds.
Mm-hmm. Great. And your website?
MaureenSaintGermain.com. MaureenSaintGermain.com.
Great. Well, I appreciate this very much, Maureen. It's been very interesting, and it's answered a couple of my questions about ascension. And it's something I'm very interested in, and I think that it's also a very important aspect of one's health. And so I like to include, you know, the spiritual as much as I can. So, again, I thank you.
My pleasure. It's a real pleasure to get to know you. And to have the honor of knowing someone who has a life well lived.
Thank you.
I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show, and I hope some of the information will be useful to you. I invite you to my websites, holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all shows for the past 7 years under the blog. You will also find much of the research on natural ways to deal with cancer and other health conditions, and can sign up for my free monthly newsletter. On my website, beatlungcancer.net, you will find many of the 135 interviews from radio and television over the past 2 years about my book on treating lung cancer naturally and holistically when I was diagnosed 41 years ago next month and given 6 months to live by traditional medicine who offered chemo and surgery. This book was published in November 2012 and was a bestseller on Amazon. You will find endorsements of the book, a place to buy the book, and an earlier one from 2007 titled Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. On my third website, you will find information on the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation, begun last year and currently in the phase of completing the website. This site is at www.holisticcancerfoundation.com. Information on how the foundation differs from others, board members, research on holistic natural ways to deal with cancer, including mental and spiritual interventions, interviews with cancer physicians and survivors, and more. If you would like to donate to the work I am supporting, there is a tab to donate, and I can offer you a tax exemption receipt if living in the United States. I also invite you to join me on Facebook at my Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Carl Helvey, on my Holistic Health Show page at www.facebook.com/pages/Holistic Health Show, and the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation page at www.facebook.com/beatlungcancernaturalalternative. On LinkedIn, I invite you to join me under my name, Dr. Carl O'Helvey. On Twitter, I invite you to join me at www.twitter.com/HolistHealthShow, HolistHealthShow. I wish you a great week, and I look forward to having you here in 2 weeks. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host.